What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 41 of the MMArcade podcast. Rob, after the hype of UFC 300, we just got done watching UFC 301. It's weird watching it and doing the podcast on the same day. I like it because it's fresh in my head, right?
It's not bad at all. And it kind of forces me to watch the fights day of. So they're very relevant in my head when we're talking about them.
For sure.
I don't know. I feel like it gets us closer to the action.
I agree so as well. and as some people said when we proposed this idea, there aren't that many channels doing the breakdowns almost immediately. And we have the benefit of being in Australian time zone where we can talk about it at a reasonable hour. But yeah, man, so what we're going to do before we get to the breakdown, we want to give a bit of a, if you want to leave a viewer question in the comments below, we usually answer them at the end of the podcast. And by the time we get there, some people have dropped off. So if you want to ask us questions for future podcasts, please let us know in the comments. Also subscribe. We're getting very close to 22K, I think, Rob. We're almost there.
Yep. We're only a hop and a skip away from one of those silver trophies you keep flaunting at me in the background.
Next episode, I'm going to remember to put it behind me so everyone can see.
You got to hide it from me. It's just stinging me, dude. Also, with the viewer questions, I got feedback from my dad. He said, last week, you didn't harp on about the questions. You just answered them and didn't yap my ear off. So he said, you can fit more in. So please do leave a question down below if you are interested in our responses, if you make it to the end of the show. And we
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to try and keep it shorter and sweeter. I can't say I'm going to keep it short because I have a tendency to go off on tangents. But
look, I think people by now are used to this podcast. We like to yap about random stuff and go overboard.
I've got a rant fucking every second fight.
But today, as mentioned, we watched UFC 301. We're going to get into the main event straight away, but I want to ask your overall thoughts about the main card, Rob, because from my perspective, it was pretty fun. I thought it was pretty good.
You know what? For a card that's after 300, big shoes to fill. And we were talking about it last week about how, with the fact that 300 was such a big monumental event, that 301 has kind of just been overshadowed. It's kind of just been forgotten.
Yeah.
It lived up to a pay-per-view event. The start of the main card was fire and every fight had dogs in them and I can't wait to talk about them.
Dude, three finishes in the main card and then obviously the return of Jose Aldo. That was a pretty great fight. And then the main event, them going five rounds. So let's talk about that right off the bat because I feel like this is a little bit controversial. And from the outset, Rob and I are Australian. So whatever we say needs to kind of be colored by that background. But Rob, Pantoja defeating Steve Ercig, unanimous decision after five brutal rounds. What did you think of the fight?
Before we go much further, can you please talk to me about the controversy, please? Because I haven't heard too much of it. Yeah. I watched it on my phone whilst I was doing family stuff. Please hit me with it.
I feel this has been, I don't know whether you say it's a slow building thing or it's been happening for a while or whatever, but I feel like there is a good portion of MMA fans that are just getting tired of whether it's champions or whatever, doing that kind of wrestling and control time, but not doing much with it and still getting the win at the end of the day. I feel like people are slowly growing tired of that over the more exciting strikers, like trying to get a knockout and get a win that way. So because of that, even though Pantoja, I wouldn't say is not he's a very exciting champion in my opinion. I think he's actually pretty good, but I think people are starting to tire of that style of fighting and them still winning on top of it. So the controversy comes from watching Steve Ercig being much better in the stand-up with his punches, letting it fly, and Pantoja winning rounds in the eyes of the judges just because he had a lot of control time and didn't do too much with it. I think that's where the controversy came. There was one judge in particular that just gave a terrible score, and I think some people are pissed by that. But two of the other judges who get the exact same score in the end still gave it for Pantoja, and I still feel like people would prefer Ercig in one of two of those key rounds to have won because he did more damage, he did more on the stand-up, he got more significant strikes and stuff like that. That's, I think, let me know in the comments below if I'm wrong on that, but I think that's where the controversy has slowly started to develop.
So
what do you reckon?
So And just everyone, remember, these are just personal opinions, okay? Before I start talking about stuff and people start biting my head off and everything, okay? Mate, I have never claimed to be a professional analyst of any sort. I have claimed to be biased on occasion, like every time we do the episode. But yep. I just want to – and we are Australians. We're going for Steve, okay? I wanted to see Steve get that title and bring it back.
Yeah,
but I'll say I don't know how much of that into the controversy I can look into, because I thought Pantoja did enough to win. Now, whether or not it's a fan favorite, him getting takedowns and, you know, utilizing control time rather than effective damage time, or working like that, it's still winning fights. I do understand that the scoring has changed. Like, you don't get scored favorably if you just take someone down and hold them down. I'm pretty sure you almost get nothing. You know, that even shafted me before, because there used to be a time in the UFC where you could be getting tailed up, teed up, belted down, and then you just finish that round with a takedown, dude. Tick. Like, that one's in the bank. Like, and tell me I'm not wrong. Tell me I'm not right. Sorry. You know. I thought so personally. I had Pantoja winning the first three.
Wow.
I thought four went to Erceg, and I think five, it could have been either way, but I thought the way Steve finished was kind of bad. You never want to finish on your back. I think finishing on your back doesn't look favorably to the South American judges in South America, right?
That's very interesting that you've said that, Rob, because that's the decision by David Torelli that a lot of people have issue with, because he called it 49-46, Pantoja winning the first three, Steve winning the fourth. And I think there's a very good argument for Steve Erceg winning the second. And I think it's funny because 49-46 to 48-47, really it's a difference of one round, right? Mm. It's a difference of opinion for just one specific round.
Yeah.
And it's the second where I would think that Steve Erceg won that, or as you thought, Pantoja won it. That's where the controversy is coming down to for this judge, anyway.
Okay. Also, no, I'm not going to say also. I say that too often. I want you to remember, I was watching it on my phone at a family barbecue.
Yeah.
I could have missed a couple things, right? I came straight from the barbecue here to record the cast for this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would have been good to have a refresher, but from watching it on the stands, you know, which is to the... No, I'm not even going to go to the defense. To everybody else involved, that's how they see it. They watch it once, and how they feel, what they see, the angle they see it at is how it is for them. Or they don't get the angles we get on the screen. They don't get all that.
True.
Now, I thought, remember, I'm wearing Australian beer goggles. I'm wearing the Aussie goggles. I wanted Steve to win. I thought Steve was looking. I thought that was an amazing showing for Steve to have. This is his fourth fight in the UFC, and he's gone from fight to fight to fight, higher up to higher up, higher in the rankings. He speed ran his way through to the division. Now he's fighting at literally the biggest, like the pinnacle of the sport. You know, fighting for a title in Brazil against a Brazilian dude, like it's... Like that's the height of pressures and everything else. And I thought he fought a terrific fight. I thought he did really well. I think he did get out wrestled and out scrambled on occasion.
Yeah.
In several key moments. And I feel like that came from Pantoja's experience. I feel like Pantoja had experience on him. I feel that was the deciding factor. Pantoja would like he definitely looked like he had more muscle on him. He had a bit more beef. He could force a couple of those takedowns, I don't know. Pantoja was real, like throwing reckless shots in the first, but landing them. They were big shots to land on Steve, those first two, even three rounds. I reckon even in the third round. I don't know. It was a weird fight to watch as well.
It was a weird fight. I have a lot of thoughts about it. One, I'll say Pantoja, his chin is made of granite. He took so many brutal shots, man. Especially that elbow that cut him up on the forehead. I don't know how he was standing after that. Genuinely, I don't. And Erceg is so good with his hands. letting them fly. But Pantoja just doesn't care. He'll go in there with reckless abandon and still manage to land his own onto Ursegal, take him down or whatever it might be. And he's not the kind of fighter that he'll try and use his defense and then go in. He'll just go through whatever kind of offense, he'll do it. And I think that deserves a level of respect. But Ursegal's still getting those shots in, so they need to count for something as well. So that's what I'll say for Pantoja. But for Ursegal, I think it does come down to experience. He even knew it, like when they were reading out the scorecards. He was going in 2-2 into that final round, and he decided to do two takedowns. And I understand that he was confident in his abilities to scramble, but he was doing so well on the stand-up, he had a bit of a brain fart to go for those takedowns. There was no need for it. There was no need to try and engage Pantoja like that, because we know how good Pantoja is. And I think it does come down to experience. What were they saying? He hasn't even been in the UFC for a full year. Something ridiculous like that. He's only had three fights. That's insane, bro. He's going to be back. He's going to be better. And I firmly believe that guy will be a champion one day. It's his experience let him down in that last
round.
I'm
with you on that. I think also, like, you should look at Ursegg's chin. Dude got hit with some big shots from Pantoja. Pantoja being the bigger dude as well, physically in stature anyway. Like, Ursegg was just walked through those as well. Not as recklessly as Pantoja watched.
To
his credit, like, he was landing shots because of that, like big shots. But I don't think that's a forever plan. I don't think that's something that'll age well, right?
Mm.
Again, yep, Steve, I think experience, you know, like not only in terms of like you not fight time experience, like high levels experience. Like he ran through the division where the caliber of fighter significantly increases, like exponentially increases to the point where he's fighting the champion within four fights.
Yeah.
Like within the first year of the UFC. Like, there's a difference. Personally speaking, there's a difference to fighting top five guys, fighting top 10 guys, to fighting everybody else, to fighting the champion, championship caliber fight. There is a difference. And I think, I think that show reared its head in his fight. But in saying that, I think if they were to meet a second time, Steve gets the W.
Oh, I completely agree. I think not just like the caliber of fighter, but also how many five-round fights has Steve had, and he made that brain fart in the very last round. He had so much cardio, he kept going. It felt like he wasn't necessarily slowing down. But in my mind, that had to be a factor. The reason why he went for those takedowns, maybe he was just like, he wasn't thinking exactly straight. He took so many knocks to the head. He hadn't been in a fifth round like that before. Especially a championship fifth round. Maybe that's what contributed to it.
Yeah.
Maybe a lack of experience. Maybe all the above.
Let's say hypothetically though, Pantoja's gassed. He gets the takedown, starts landing good strikes, good shots, finishes the round on top. Maybe he creeps away with a win. You don't know. You know what I mean?
Maybe. But it's not like Pantoja like ever showed that his grappling game and how fast he was on the ground was ever like lacking in that round, in that fight, to make Ursegg think, oh, I could get him in the fifth. You know what I mean? He was controlling Ursegg for a good portion of those earlier rounds. So I don't know why he went for it in the fifth. Like he said interview.
Yeah,
go on.
No, please.
No, he was saying in his interview, he was like, I thought I scramble pretty well against most other people, but I didn't do it obviously well against Pantoja. But he wasn't scrambling that well against him in the first four rounds. So why do that in the fifth? It was a bit of a brain snap.
I feel like I'm watching Pantoja fight and I'm like, dude, gas. It's 2:40 in the first
round. That's the way he looks.
And then he comes back. Then he's throwing these explosive high-powered things like wrestle grinding some guy down for the next 4 minutes to come out the next round gassed. Only to start getting fitter as the round goes on. Like, it was confusing for me watching on the outside. I can't imagine. You know, maybe that played a factor into it
because it
was like a roller coaster of him being gassed the entire time. I didn't know where my my footing was. I couldn't tell whether he was tired, whether he was putting it on, or whether he was just recovering super fast. But
I think he's deceptive. He has that look. He has that look that he's tired. And even the commentators made note of that. But he's not actually tired. Or maybe he's just like, you know, rebuilding to go for another.
I saw some punches. Saw some punches, mate, that was so slow and sloppy that you can't fake that.
But then in the same round,
he'll explode and look crisp as anything, or take the dude down, do a high volume like scramble to get on top of Steve. It was such a strange. I was finding it hard to pin down where his cardio level was.
But you know, Pantoja's never been a clean.
It's obviously great.
He's never been a clean striker like that. He's always very much been a brawler. And so I wasn't really surprised where sometimes you're like, what the hell was that? But that's just the way sometimes he fights. So I wouldn't put it down to cardio, because this dude, how many 5-round fights has this dude been through now? I think he gives off that look that he's tired and exhausted. Mm. And I don't know, maybe it's a defense mechanism. Maybe he does it intentionally.
Maybe he's playing possum the entire time. I don't know.
So it's interesting. I think if you ever get the chance to rewatch it, I'm very interested to see what you think about that second round. Because from what you were saying, even if Steve Ursa won the fifth, in your eyes, he still wouldn't win the fight. In your eyes, he's still down a round.
And I can only tell you how I felt watching the fight. Remember, I'm in Steve's corner wholeheartedly.
I thought
Steve going into that fourth had to win it. Like, he had to win. He had to finish the fight. He had to close the deal. Like, especially going into that fifth, I thought he's got to try and fire it away. Mm. Like, take the win by force. Otherwise, he's not going to win this fight.
That's fair. Well, let's see what the comments say, because that was a lot of people were very upset with David Torelli, who gave it a 49-46.
Not me, please.
Rob's not judging officially here.
Nah, dude.
he's watching it on his phone at a family barbecue. But Pantoja retains the title. Steve Ursig will 100% be back. But let's talk about the co-main. I thought this was going to be 5 rounds. I don't know why I thought that, just because it was a co-main. But Jose Aldo defeating Jonathan Martinez by unanimous decision. Man, Jose still has it. He never lost it. He can still compete with the best of them. I would probably say he's still top five material for sure.
I'm 100% with you there. It's like he never left. Like, he was clean. He was cut. He was composed. He had the output, the gas, the stamina. And you know what's funny? And I remember telling this to someone, and like, it's just one of those things. You think Jose Aldo's older than he is? because of how he looks and he's been in the UFC forever. He's been fighting forever. Mm. He's been in the conversation forever. Like, but he's only 37.
He could still go. Apparently, Rob, the inside baseball is that he had one fight left on his contract. He wanted to see it out, because apparently that prevented him from boxing and doing other stuff. And I don't know how true that is. Like, if he actually retired from the UFC, how is that fight, you know, holding him up in that regard? But I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
I don't know. But he looks phenomenal. It's like he never left. You know.
Yeah. But I think he should stay. He needs to stay. He's so good. Yep. Right.
Yep. Well, is he going to stay? Was that ever in the talks? Like,
I don't know, because of that whole like boxing thing. Maybe he that's his last fight, and he goes to boxing.
Maybe he signed a bona fide contract. I don't know.
Possibly. But I couldn't imagine the UFC would want to keep him around after that performance, right?
But the UFC, I think, would also agree with a one fight contract for him to co-main in Rio.
True. But who would he fight, you reckon? He could, because he lost to Dvalishvili, right? He lost to Merab. Jose Aldo.
Did he? I don't think so.
Oh, hold up. Maybe I'm misremembering.
I think he lost to Jan.
No, he did lose to Merab. So he lost to Merab. Yeah, that was his very last fight. And then he obviously just beat Jonathan Martinez. So honestly, man, give him Henry Cejudo. Henry Cejudo, Jose Aldo, let's go. But he was great though, right? Like, I was super impressed by just how strong he was, his combos. And Jonathan Martinez didn't have an answer. the whole fight didn't have an answer. Couldn't even shrug Jose Aldo. He was even crying at the end. I felt bad for him.
Yeah,
bro, honestly.
just stalked his way forward and just just beat him up. It was honestly like, you know, a lot of those guys retire and come back and then they kind of look just old.
Yeah,
you know, like old, out of shape. It's kind of just doing it for a paycheck. That I didn't get that vibe. Didn't get that look. This fight. Fight looked like a guy that was very much still in the conversation of top five material.
Yeah. Yeah. And as for Jonathan Martinez, I mean, he was on a bit of a win streak. I think it was 5 or 6. He'll be back, man. He'll be back. I don't know. Like, it was a weird fight to make. I always felt that it was a weird fight to make because, they probably just wanted to fill numbers for the Brazil card. But maybe he tried to challenge himself a little bit too much. Yes, Jose Aldo is a bit older. Maybe he hasn't fought in a bit, but it's still bloody Jose Aldo.
Definitely.
Yeah. But next up, we have Anthony Smith against Vitor Petrino. There were two guillotine chokes, two submissions in this main card. But what do you think about Anthony Smith defeating Petrino by guillotine choke in the first round?
Oh, mate. I don't know. What do you want me to say? Like,
it was great.
Yeah. He got one for a double leg. Anthony Smith believed in himself, wrapped up the guard, and just sent it. You know what I mean? It's a hard thing to believe in yourself at the levels that we fight at and to believe in a submission. So has he had a guillotine submission before?
I will search that up right now because I don't know if he actually has.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, mate, props to him. You know what? It's good to see him back in the winning column. He's a guy that he's a battler. You know what I mean? He has some good moments. He has some bad moments, but he's always there for the moments. You know what I mean? He's always fighting the good fight. And it's good to see him in the winning column, especially by submission. Didn't take any damage.
Yep. He could fight soon if he wanted to. But by the way, that has been his only, guillotine choke finish. He has gotten other kind of chokes, like triangle chokes and whatnot, and rear naked chokes, but specifically guillotine, that was his very first. And you know what? He got beaten pretty significantly by Khalil Roundtree, but that was Roundtree, and now Roundtree is fighting Hill. So very much Anthony Smith still has it. But I was worried for him initially because Vitor Petrino looked like a bad man, and he looked like he was going to hurt him. You know what I mean?
He was a massive underdog. So I'm so happy for him to get it up. He was a massive underdog, like paying huge numbers. And for him to get the win the way he did, it might just be – It's not only is it a good thing for Anthony Smith, it's a good thing for Vitor because he's going to come back better from this, wiser from this, smarter from this. Yep. And he didn't really take any damage either. It doesn't – like he got knocked out, not like he got outstruck. I think this is like a good showing for both guys. I'm happy for the outcome for both guys. Obviously, no one wants to lose, but I think he'll take more from losing a fight this way than a win potentially.
So next up, we've got Michel Pereira against Ihor Pateria. I think that's how you pronounce it. Another guillotine choke, another submission finish. But
mate, this was a strange one, huh?
It was so weird. They were talking pretty significantly after the fight about whether to call it.
I was sure he blew it.
I get he's an exciting dude, but why take that risk, man? I was screaming at him. What are you doing, bro?
I was thinking to myself, like, what's the best outcome for that backflip kick thing? Like, how does that end? You know what I mean?
The best outcome for him is a no contest. He doesn't actually lose or something.
What's he aiming for? The chest. Like, that's a bad position to end up in if your knees end up on his guts or his chest, right?
He's just doing it to be flashy.
It's fun. And it's fun. That's like what he's built his name off, really. His hype is because of the flashy ways, the semantics, like the dancing. I was just thinking, what's the happy ending for that technique, right? And I was sure he blew it, but he didn't. Yeah. Got the guillotine choke. They awarded him with that. It was cool how he held the choke and then he let him go and the guy was walking backwards and went unconscious as he was leaving.
He was spasming, man. That was brutal.
Well, no, it's funny. When the oxygen gets cut off, sometimes the body doesn't register it straight away. Right. Or sometimes it can – like once you get all the oxygen back, that's what can black you out. Like it's just yeah, it can be it can be like that, man. You see it and it looks worse than it is. Like he's no worse for wear from it. But what a showing.
Can I ask, did you think there was a chance that maybe it could have been overturned? Only because 100%.
I thought he blew it, dude. Like I thought when everyone was talking, when the refs were talking, they huddled up. You saw the replay of the guy's shin kind of hitting him on the cheek, neck area. Like I was like, man, guy, like they're gonna take this from this guy.
I was torn on it because it definitely an illegal strike. I don't think anyone can deny it. He made some contact with the head, but it was a kind of brushing, glancing blow. Can you take the win away from him? Like, how much did it contribute to the eventual guillotine choke? You know what I mean? That's why I thought, look, I know that it was illegal, but it wouldn't have made it a no contest if the fight had continued. So to give them the win. That was my opinion. Yeah. But I don't know the rules that well.
Yeah, like, well, it's not really rules at that stage. At that stage, it's kind of discretion. On the referee and the officials, right? I'm in the group of category of people that want to see downed kicks back. So I like,
true.
Like I love that stuff, dude. Keep doing it, but so you may take some sore DQ sometimes.
Can an exception just be made for the backflip into guard? Because that's just cool.
I don't know.
It's just very cool. But then lastly,
I don't know. You know what? I just remembered he's a middleweight and I don't care for him very much. So there you go.
You know what's funny? Like, so we had two middleweight fights on this card. So we obviously had that one and the next one, which was the first on the main card. Paul Craig against Caio Barreiro, or Barreiro, I think is it. He gets defeated.
Barreiro. Oh,
it's not Barreiro. It's like Barreiro or something. All right. I was struggling with the pronunciations this card. But Paul Craig defeated by KO strikes in the second round. What do you think of this one? I have a lot of thoughts about Paul Craig. A lot of thoughts.
Mate, Paul Craig, like, again, middleweights don't care for them too much.
Well, be honest then. Don't hold back.
Nah, because I don't want to start anything I don't want to have to continue on with on Twitter. Like, I don't even know my Twitter password at this stage, right? Like, I just want to be left alone, chill out, do my thing, man. Mate,
because every episode, there's an article written about this podcast. You know that, right? Yeah. Every episode.
Poor Craig. What can I say? Dude, mate, if he can't get you to the ground within the first 30 seconds of the fight, he's going to get beat up. If he fights anybody with any sort of movement and decent striking, he's going to get bashed. Like, he's not a striker by any means. And I don't think he likes getting hit very much either. Obviously, we all don't like getting hit very much, but I feel like for him specifically, he just doesn't like it that much. I don't want to jump on him while he's down though, you know what I mean? How do you say his first name? Chow?
Caio, like, I think. They were saying Caio. I don't know if that's true either. Don't hound us for pronunciations, all right?
Yeah. Well, I think he fought well. I think he was holding the distance well. His striking game was on point. Yep. I don't want to jump on Paul Craig when he's down because Caio, or Chow, however his name is said, respectfully, however his name is said, he was on. He was on. He fought a good fight. He was on. And he saw the button. He saw when he heard him. He pushed in and, he landed those finished shots. He saw the kill. That kill moment.
So I know you don't want to say it about Paul Craig, but I want to say it. Dude is too comfortable on his back. He's too comfortable going to guard, pulling guard. I think it was very similar from memory against Brendan Allen, if you remember, when they fought earlier. I think it was late last year. He just loves being there, and he kept getting stood up, and he doesn't want to stand and bang. He doesn't want to fight like that. It's so frustrating to watch because he got a new set of coaches to work on his striking game. because that was obviously lacking. And he doesn't seem any better. If anything, he seems worse. I don't get it, poor Craig. I don't get it.
You know what I think it is, and this is what I see when he's fighting. He doesn't want to strike, dude.
No.
You know, the best set of striking coaches in the world. If you don't want to strike and you don't want to fight that fight, you're not going to. You know, you're never going to be very good at it. You got to want to fight there. You got to want to be there. You got to be willing to get hit, to land hits. You got to be willing to hit them for as long as it takes. It's different. You know, we'll say though, his guard game is very good. much like my coach hounds into me, he goes, guard is not great for MMA. It's just not. For one, it looks weak. You're on your back.
Even if
nothing happens, you take no damage. In the eyes of the coaches and everybody in the stands, you lost that round, dude. Okay? Because you were on your back getting punched, defended, couldn't get up. Okay? It just looks bad. And two, mate, let's say the guy can punch you, is doing well. He's going to hit you, man.
Yeah.
He's going to hit you. It's a bad place to be in. It's just dangerous.
Yeah. Unless like you're able to pull out a triangle choke or whatever it might be and actually submit them, it's almost always going to look bad. So I don't know what poor Craig's game plan was. I really don't. Mm. And maybe he was just out of his depth against Brajo because he looked so good.
You'll get the submission. You'll get the triangle once, twice maybe. You know, but like the higher up in the ladder you go, they're gonna have guys there that know jiu-jitsu, that understand guard. They know not to put their head around your legs, right?
Mm. Mm. But you know what I loved at the end? And so I don't know who I was listening to about it recently, but saying, you know, when they ask you after the fight, hey, who do you want to fight next? That's your opportunity to kind of put your stake into the ground and say, yeah, here's my next opportunity. Especially if you're very close to getting a title shot, you call for that or you call for another fight. I thought he called for the best opponent in Jared Cannonier. That is a freaking great fight to make. I think I would love to see those two go. And I'm just glad he didn't do something like, oh, I should go for the title. Like, he wasn't so stupid and so, like, let's use the word arrogant because I can't think of something else. But he wasn't so dumb to say, oh, I'm going to call for the title shot because he knew he wasn't getting that, especially in the middleweight division, right? But he called for someone that was top five ranked, would be a very good fight, and would absolutely put in the conversation if he was to win that fight. Against Jared Cannonier, man, I think that's perfect. So I was pretty proud of him for doing that again.
And it's a good fight for him. You know, I think it was clever. It was clever. And it's a guy that understands you need to earn your stripes.
Yeah. Yeah. He just seems like a chill dude as well. But UFC 301, Rob, in the books, what do you think of it overall?
Mate, I think, like I said at the beginning, we prefaced with that like, 300 were big shoes to fill, kind of left a big shadow over the whole week for this card. The card was good. It was a good watch. I thought it lived up to pay-per-view standards.
Yep.
You know, obviously with 300 and 301 being so close to each other, it's hard to live up to that, what 300 was, but not many cards can. So I liked it. I liked it. You know, I want to see Steve get back in there, get the work done. Like I said, I think they run it back one day, obviously not straight away, but they run it back. He wins the second time. I'm really interested to see where he goes next and what he does. But he's earned his lollies. Like I said, he hasn't even been in the UFC for a year and he's fought four times. Give the dude, let him finish his KFC. Let him have some time off. And just cruise out.
I saw someone's comment that was like, I feel bad for the next person that fights Steve Ersing because he's just so good. He's so clean with his hands. It's amazing. And anyone else in that position would have been knocked out, but it was Pantoja. Mm-hmm. And I said this last week, Rob, even though on paper, this card obviously wasn't up to previous standards, obviously UFC 300 being the previous one, but I said that because of that, it has a chance of actually being a really good, fun card. I thought I got my money's worth. We got those three finishes in the main card, a really great showing from Jose Aldo, and then a five-round banger at the end. What more do you want? It was a great card.
Mate, exactly. What more do you want? I thought the card started off pretty well.
Yeah. So that was UFC 301. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. But now we are getting to video game news. And by far, the biggest piece of news this week is Helldivers 2. Oh, you're going to go to the bathroom. I know.
Give me,
I know you're calling. He's waiting.
Do give it. Me an intermission between segments, please.
I'm not stopping recording. You are going to listen to me talk while Rob goes to the bathroom. Yeah, man. I don't know. I was kind of hoping that Rob would go off on Paul Craig a little bit. I don't know what he was doing. It makes me so mad because, like, otherwise he could. I don't know. Anyways, but I still thought that UFC 301 was a very good card. I thought it was a lot of fun. I still need to watch the early prelims and stuff, but overall, the main card was really good. Super, super impressed with Jose Aldo for sure. Like, Jose Aldo, I wish that he stays. I wish that he signs, even if it's a one-fight contract, have him fight someone that's in the top 10, because I think Martinez was 12. And this was, and if anything, right, this was obviously more of an opportunity for Martinez to move up the ranks and fight someone that's a legend, that's a GOAT. Even though Jose Aldo wasn't necessarily ranked, but I hope that Aldo stays. So, Rob, we are talking about video game news. And as I kind of alluded, the biggest piece of video game news was absolutely Helldivers 2, all of the controversy going with that. So, for those of you that don't know, Helldivers 2 is released on PS5 and PC. And there was an optional prompt when you started your game that if you want to sign up and link your account with PSN from Steam, you can do that. If not, don't stress, right? And Sony has come out and said, you will need to do this, I think, from there's a date in June, I believe, where you need to link your Steam account to PSN. Otherwise, eventually, you won't be able to play the game. This has caused a huge, huge bloody outcry. It's the only thing anybody's talking about. Where the page for Helldivers 2 has been flooded with negative reviews. It turned from very positive to mostly negative, with over 130,000 negative reviews in the past few days. It's actually been ridiculous. Arrowhead CEO apologized and kind of implied that it was a Sony thing. Sony is saying it's about protecting our players and upholding values of safety and security. And also, it was technical issues that we didn't require people to sign up with PSN in the beginning, and that's why it was optional. The reason why people are so upset is because, one, they didn't have to do it initially, but also, two, since PSN is only available in 73 countries, there actually are a good number of people that eventually might not be able to play Helldivers 2 because they're not from their country. And it's against terms of service to sign up to another region with a VPN. And apparently now on Steam, Helldivers 2 is delisted in over 100 countries. So, Rob, that is the controversy. I know that you haven't played Helldivers 2, but what do you think about all of this shenanigan?
Well, it's surprising because I haven't played it, but I've heard nothing but good things. Like, a lot of my friends play it with other mates. A lot of people that I know have spoken to me about it, saying that they jump on with the boys and have a lot of fun with it. So it's surprising to hear how fast the pendulum swung the other way, right? This day and age, man, you can't force anyone to do anything. And if you try, this is usually what happens. Yeah, this is usually what happens. I think if the game was working fine before, why change it? I think the idea of linking accounts where some people in certain countries won't be able to play it is ridiculous, especially if they've already been playing it up till now. Why did they have to?
I agree. I reckon they have some sort of reason that they're not necessarily telling us about. My suspicion is that this means more data for Sony. This means more people signing up to PSN. And for them on that side, it's a good thing, right? And that's part of the reason maybe that they're pushing it. But I agree. Like, to release a game, only have it as an option, and then to pull it on everyone, especially when it's very, very popular. A lot of people are playing it. They're invested with all their credits and skins and stats and everything. To say that you need to do this now, maybe they were hoping that more people would be likely to sign on as opposed to doing it right from launch, you know what I mean? But you've just pissed people off now. And is it worth it? Is it worth, you had such a great feel-good story with Helldivers 2. Again, very positive, one of the games of the year. It was touted, especially because it's not a full price game. Everyone was loving Helldivers 2. But this shows you do the one thing that can piss people off, they will turn on you. They're not going to cop stuff like this. Yeah. And now it's mostly negative.
It feels like betrayal. Like, you can't say one thing and then suddenly be like, oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
There's this. It's, you know, it's like, my daughter did this to me earlier. Like, she came over and she gave me some food and I ate the food and I go, how much is it? She goes, $100. And I go, but I've already eaten it. She goes, should have asked that beforehand. You know what I mean? It was like, I was like, you set me up. Like, I feel betrayed. You betrayed me. Then we punched on. But I don't know. I can see how people would feel betrayed. Like, they would, you know, and no one likes being backed into a corner. No one likes being backed into a corner. Like, don't tell me what I have to do. I hate any game that I jump on that requires me to create an account of some sort. Unless it's like an MMO where everyone has to, you know, jump into the same database or network, you need login credentials. But I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Give me that option. If I want to join, and you know what? If you really want me to join, give me something for it. Like, give me a skin for joining, you know, some extra inventory space. Make it worth my while.
Hell yeah.
I hate this crap. I hate you guys saying, you have to do this to play. Everyone, and I feel like we already passed that era. Everyone and their friends started bringing out their own browsers and launchers to try and do that. And
Then
they quickly learned that people hate this and it's just going to affect your overall revenue, you know?
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point. It's much better to use the carrot as opposed to the stick. If you really need more people to sign up to PSN for whatever reason, give them a good bloody incentive to do so.
Yeah,
we're going to give you this awesome freaking skin or whatever, and then you're going to get a bunch of people signing up. But if they didn't need to sign up initially, then technically what's actually, like, why are you actually doing this now? Mm-hmm. And the thing that it proves to me is that trust, especially in the community, the games community, is so hard to gain. It's so hard to nurture. Community management can be very difficult to do. So trust is really hard to gain, but it's so bloody easy to lose, especially this quickly. And now the game is going to have this permanent red mark because who knows if those reviews are ever going to recover. Even if they backtrack on this, is the trust just gone now? Because some people's eyes it is.
And Johnny, mate, like, that's not just in game culture or anything. That's in real life.
Yeah.
Like, trust takes years and decades to build, but seconds to lose. Just like...
Yeah.
You know, respect and I don't know. It's, you don't play around with that stuff. You know,
it's a shame.
The only way I reckon they could recover from this properly is incentivizing maybe the accounts. Maybe that'll appease them. But I feel like you just need to be straight up and be like, hey, boys, we stuffed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just
cop it on the chin.
My bad. We're not going to do that. I'm sorry. Please take your negative comments down. Please. It's ruining our revenue.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's a shame because especially I think from a community perspective, this is a developer and publisher, let's say, thing, right? Because the developers did so well with the game. It's so much fun. I love playing Helldivers 2. From a community perspective, they've done really well nurturing it, really well making people feel part of this community and part of this battle and challenge to take back planets from robots and bugs. It's just such a cool concept, Helldivers 2, and I always have a blast playing it. And for that to be undermined because of this one decision, I think it's a huge shame. It's going to take years and years now, like maybe months, but probably years of good community management to get people's trust back. And I think that's just a shame for the devs in particular.
And let me say, if you need someone to help patch this up, I'm your man. I got you. I will smooth this over. Don't you worry. Arrowhead, give us a call. I'll smooth this over.
And that's pretty much the games news that we had. Like, there wasn't really much else aside from that. So let's get to the next segment, what we're watching, playing, and reading. Rob, what have you been up to this week?
So I've been watching the same season of anime that I mentioned last week, like Konosuba.
Yep.
It's hilarious. That's kind of it. Mushoku Tensei, or whatever it's called.
You're still watching
it. It's a little slow, but Konosuba is just, mate, I reckon it's like my favorite anime ever, dude. Like, it's just so good. I think it's one. I'd give it maybe one. I've watched a lot of good anime.
But not the best, right?
It's top five at least. But I reckon It could be my favorite. It's just so funny, man. So funny. It just, I don't know, it just hits my sense of humor to a T.
I thought I'm going to ask you this question then, more so than Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, definitely. Full Metal Alchemist is like a top 10 candidate. It's not.
Okay.
It's nowhere near. Fair. It's not fair top enough. 5 at all.
Okay.
Like, you know, like I reckon the toss up would be something like You Lie in April, which is gnarly. It's so good.
Right.
From what I remember.
Yeah.
Steins Gate's pretty good, but it gets a bit dragged out. I don't know. There's heaps of them. There's so much anime, dude. Too much anime.
There is too much anime. And more keeps releasing every month.
I watch so much. Like, and there's heaps of times I'll be looking for an anime to watch and I'll see one and think to myself, man, I need to announce that on the podcast. It's so good.
But yeah.
Then I forget. You know.
Fair.
but what I've been playing, actually, I dived back into Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, you did? How's it going?
I did. Well, what got me into it was a friend of mine asked like if I wanted to play, and I was like, yeah, all right, it'll be fun. So I jumped in with him multiplayer, and it's a lot of fun multiplayer. I think there's like some things mentally I have to get over to play multiplayer, and you can only play with certain people because it's a very story-based driven game, and obviously if you with your personalities of two different people, the story can kind of derail. And if you're one of the If you're of a mind of like, this is my story and this is how I'm going to run it, you're not going to work well with your mates because they are also player one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it takes a little bit of navigating there, but that's in my own head sort of thing, right? But it was funny. Right. We only play honor mode. I won't play anything less. So our 6-hour run ended today. Because of just like some poor, you make poor decisions, dude. You're gonna pay for it. And let me say, those gnolls at the Zentrum like ambush area, bro, they are so strong. They're bullshit. They get like bloodlusted. They get they get like 4 attacks per turn. It's just silly. They hit hard as bricks, man. You know, but I started my own single player on a run as well on a mode.
Nice.
Run. And it's taken me a little bit to get used to the – like I love permadeath. Like that's not – that isn't anything that I'm struggling with. What I'm struggling with is not getting the best outcome all the time for certain things.
Right.
You know, because obviously with the Larian – it's a Larian game. So they straight up just cut whole arcs of story off if you do something wrong or you won't get a certain item. So like,
I hate that, man.
Out of the – yeah, dude. And it's taken me a little bit to get – to come to grips with it because like out of the gate in the Nautiloid ship or whatever it's called, you get us, you know, the brain, straight up failed that, killed it, squished it, you know, but now that's like a little pet I don't get to have and it ate me up, dude.
That's
like,
so sad. And you can't reload an earlier save or anything. That's just it.
No, you can't do anything like that. It's just you got to live with it. I'm like, yeah, whatever, screw this place. And I continue on. And then I end up having an argument with Lazelle. She has a go at me, so I throw her off the ship. It's, I don't know. And then you have to live with that because she's gone now. And like when I was playing with my friend, you know when Asterion, hey, spoilers. So listen away. You know when Asterion tries to bite you in the camp?
Mm.
You can get up and just straight up stake him. You should have been trying to bite me, bro. Staked him, but I couldn't take that back. I couldn't take it back. I thought it was funny at the time. Couldn't take that back. And the look of hurt he gives you when he's like walking away with the stake in his chest. I was like, oh man, now I feel bad, right? But I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it again. So I'm going to see if I can get past Act 1, but let's see if I'm still
playing
it by next week.
I was going to say, it better stick, man. You better get to Act 3, maybe not finish the game, but Act 3.
I'm pretty confident with my build. It's usually my build that makes me restart games, unless it's in honor mode, unless I die, right?
Yeah. Mm. All right. I mean, well, for me.
What about yourself?
I ended up finishing solo leveling. I mean, I say I ended up finishing. There's only 12 bloody episodes, man. And I was kind of gutted because I thought there was going to be 24, like you usually see with a first season. Surely they need to do a part 2 because it just ended on such a great bit. Dude, solo leveling is essentially Elden Ring as an anime or a Souls game as an anime. It's so freaking cool. Because he's just like, I got a key or whatever. I'm going to go to this dungeon or this castle. And all these enemies can legitimately kill him. It's pretty much like Elden Ring is anime. It's the best.
Oh, what's that other anime? You know what? Did you ever watch, what's it called? Shangri-La Frontier?
Oh, no, that was on my list. No, genuinely.
You'll like that better than Solo Leveling. I'll say it right now.
Okay. I'll watch it because I want
to. That is like Elden Ring. Dude's like a nerd at games. So he goes into like a game world essentially naked, right? But he's got great skills.
But that's how you would play Elden Ring.
I'm nowhere near good enough. I'll try. I'll be part of the group, but I won't get anywhere. I'll just die.
I do want to watch it because it definitely scratched my itch when it came to those video game style animes, but there wasn't enough of it. And I don't know if there's going to be a part two of season one. So I'm going to jump into that for sure.
Shangri-La, I think, is better than Solo Leveling. Did you ever watch Sword Art Online?
No, you told me to watch that. Oh, far out, bro.
Okay. If you like reading, I would read the light novel instead of watching the anime.
Is it better?
I think so. I think so. I read the light novel. I liked it.
Would you say Sword Art Online or Shangri-La like for me to watch next? After Solo Leveling. Because I'm going to watch one of them.
Watch Shangri-La.
All right.
It's newer. I think the animation style is a bit smoother, and it's closer to Sword Art Online's really good, but the first season anyway, it gets a bit weird later on, but
yeah.
It's still worth a watch. The first season of Sword Art is really good, really liked it.
And I then will watch I went it. On a and we'll talk about it
like
next week.
I wanted a game that was Sword Art Online for ages. I was upset that I could never have it. it's just not how life works.
No, it's not. But I watched that and. I am about to start a Fallout 4 playthrough. I'm about to. And it's just been delayed because I've been making videos and stuff. So I can talk about that in next week's episode. But that's pretty much what I've been doing this week.
You know what
week.
We should do, dude? We should do a Baldur's Gate 3 playthrough, you and me.
Really? Yeah. When? When do we have the time to do it? Genuine question.
We really don't. and I also don't think our personalities was clashed very well. In a setting where you can actually kill people and get away with it.
I say that.
when my friend, my only conscience is my paladin tenant, right? As long as that's not broken, I've done no evil. So you know how many people
I feel
you
like
can
you
get
piss
away
me
killing
off.
And not break your tenant? Oh, 100% I would. 100% I would.
Because you know I come from BGS games where they let you do everything, right? And you're going to lock off all these quests and everything. No, I think that's just going to piss me off.
Mate, you know the spoilers, boys, everyone. You know this is the Druid's Grove at the first thing? Straight away, I went down to Kaga and she was like trying to kill that little girl with a snake. I went in and attacked her without remorse, like straight away attacked her, having to kill every druid in the grove. There, a big fight broke out between the druids and the tieflings, and it was a whole different side of the game. I never saw that, so I didn't try to persuade anyone. The girl ended up dying.
We're never playing together.
Just ensued.
It's never happening.
But my tenant didn't break, dude. They, in my oath, they were evil.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're locking up content and that's frustrating to me. I don't think I could put up with it. Genuinely, I don't.
You know, you're locking off content, not killing her.
Yeah, but not, no. No. If you go in with that mentality, you're absolutely locking off more content. 100%.
You see, this is the mentality I had to have to get through honor mode, like right now, because you can't have everything. You got to
just, true.
Because,
mate, but you can have more things sometimes. You know,
no, dude, the critical failures follow me like a bad dream, dude. Like, I hit those one rolls too often. Too often.
Dude, you told me of that story in Dragon's Dogma where you're like, I could save the little child and it hurt me. And now you want me to play Baldur's Gate 3 like this? No way.
Yeah, but that was then. Honor mode has changed me. I've learned to live with myself and live with my decisions. It's so much harder than it sounds. Like, I'm still in two minds.
Fair. I'll think about it. But I do think I want to start my Fallout 4 playthrough because it's been a long time coming. But Rob, last segment, viewer questions. We are at 55 minutes. I was like, I don't want to push it too long. Again, if you want to ask us questions for the viewer questions segment, let us know in the comments below. The first one comes from @MasterSpencer2483, who's a member on the channel. Thank you for being a member. We'll prioritize your comments and questions. This was a very funny question. Here's a funny hypothetical. How many Johnnies would it take to beat one Rob in a fight?
Can I give it like what I think
is a realistic... I did karate. Yeah. But yeah, not for a while now.
Hey, where are we fighting?
That's a good question. Look, let's say it's in a UFC ring or an MMA ring. So there's rules and stuff. There's a bit more predictability to that. Let's say that's the case, right? It's one of those crazy Russian ones where they have like 20 people taking on the one dude. I'm going to think of what number I think is realistic. You're going to think of the number. And on three, we're going to each say the number, okay? Because I'm genuinely curious.
What sort of mentality do you have going into the fight?
My duplicates, my drones, whatever you want to call my clones, are taking this seriously. This is like my very first competitive fight. There's a bunch of us. We're all training very seriously. That's my mentality.
Okay.
Our mentality.
Do we have a training time?
Sure. Let's say I have 6 months to prepare. I feel like that's fairish.
Are they going to train you in like group combat, bud?
Let's say yes, because if we're fighting with a bunch of people, that would be ideal, right? It's not going to be like those stupid movies where one guy goes in and then the other guy goes in and they keep getting knocked out. You know what I mean?
Let's go.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. 30.
3.
Wow, you're giving me a lot of credit. Holy shit.
No.
There are 3.
Actually, nah, you know, I could probably stone 3 of you.
You easily.
But I was
easily
thinking, like, if you're training for 6 months in group combat, one dude just has to wrap up my legs, and then the other two are going to have a...
Yeah, but I think one dude...
You need at least 5. I reckon 5 Johnnies. How heavy are you?
That's the problem. So my normal weight is about 70 kilos. So if I'm cutting for a fight, what am I getting to?
Yeah, I reckon 6 of yous, maybe 5 or 6.
I feel good about that.
Group combat's dangerous, dude. Like, and I am only human.
True. Okay.
Let me tell you, a few of those Johnnies have not gone home.
No, they're dead. They are dying. 100%.
A couple of those Johnnies.
I appreciate six, though. You're giving me a lot of respect, a lot of credit.
Mate, group combat's crazy. It's crazy. And if you're given 6 months to develop tactics,
all right,
you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. In an octagon, like there's not a lot of angles for me to, I don't know. Three could approach me and then two over the top. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, genuine question, by the way. If my regular weight is about 70 kilos, what would be the ideal class for me to fight at? Well, let's say that I'm going into it. What would be my ideal weight class?
Because I have no idea. 62? What's that? Is 62? What's that? Is that bantamweight?
Honestly, I never know fucking pounds, bro. It pisses me off.
If you're 70, just walking around, you could probably go all the way to fly. What's that? 56?
So 62 kilos, you said, is about 136 pounds, which is bantamweight. I would say flyweight. Yeah. I would say flyweight. I reckon you could fight fly.
You put on weight though when you start like getting up a ton of muscle from all the grappling and wrestling and everything. It'll either be 62 or 56.
You say that, and then I see someone like Steve who literally fought at 125 pounds. I'm like, he looked huge. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you know what though? Like on the screen, guys look much bigger than they do.
Mm.
Like you've seen me in real life. McGregor only comes up to about here on me.
You know what That's I mean? Crazy.
And he's massive, probably bigger. Maybe I'm doing injustice. Yeah, before everyone jumps on me and texts him, "Hey, bro, Rob's talking." No, yeah, but he's a smaller guy than he looks on screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how you can tell, you can get a pretty good gauge. Look at where their head goes above the octagon.
Right.
You'll see the heavyweights, dudes, like chins above it, and then you'll see flyweights that are like down here.
So I'm looking at the height, by the way. I think Connor and I are the same height. He might be like a centimeter smaller than me. So he probably. So if you've seen that photo of Rob and I, apparently that's how high Connor is compared to Rob. Next question we've got is from @someguy701. Question for Rob. Have you ever been pissed off during a fight?
Not really. Genuinely not angry. Fight. Nah, I kind of closed off my emotions during the fight. The last fight, I was like really amped up, but I wouldn't say I was angry. I was just G'd up for a punch up.
All right, fair. Next question is from @woe. What do you think, Rob, he's asking you this question, of the bantamweight division, and do you think Umar Nurmagomedov can become champion? He's a big fan of you, by the way. Did you know that? Umar is a big fan of you.
I didn't. Mate, I think it's flying right now. I think there's a lot of talent coming through the ranks, and it's just, I don't know, it's really exciting right now.
Yeah.
Dude's a phenom too.
I'm trying to find any comments that Umar has said about you, because I didn't know that he was a fan. Has he made any comments about Rob? Let us know in the comments below, because that's pretty cool. Next question we have
he's
is
in a great place.
Yeah. It's from @blazepastel4505. Another great episode. Rob, can you talk about what your daily diet and training plan is? Johnny, you're not a fighter, but what physical activities or sports do you enjoy playing or watching? Thanks. Rob, are you ever comfortable talking about your diet, by the way, and what you're eating? Is that a no-go zone? Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I change diets. I've changed a lot of diets throughout the years. Mm. Right now, I'm calorie tracking, and I try to eat some carbs before the first session. At least a little bit. Try to stack the carbs between the next session. So like straight after that session, trying to stack on as many carbs as I can. Usually don't eat meats because I don't like being heavy. Like I need to eat a lot of carbs without being sluggish and slow.
Fair.
Do that session and then usually back end all my meats generally. On the tail end. Train all twice a day. Most days of the week. Every day of the week.
Right, do you check? You don't train Sundays though, right? That's your day off.
Except Sundays. Sundays is the Sabbath. Some days I do, but.
and as for the question for me, I love watching rugby league. It's probably my favorite sport to watch. Huge Canberra Raiders supporter. I never actually played rugby league. I played union because the school that I went to, I don't know if anyone understands this about like, I went to a private school in Australia. And they typically only do rugby union. It's a very private school boys sport as opposed to league. So I used to do rugby. But then as I said, I used to train karate as well. But right now I don't train anything at all. And final question is from @berserker2807. Does Whitaker have Melania behind him? The statue behind you. That is Melania, right?
Yeah, dude.
It's a sick statue. It's hard to come by. Those are expensive too.
Cool, eh?
Yeah. Did you see the new one, by the way, for Shadow of the Earth Tree with Messima?
No, I didn't.
It looks sick, bro. It looks really cool.
I wonder if I can get one. I like my little statues and my toys on myself.
I think they're sold out.
My kids love them. They come out and play with them.
Do you remember when I had my setup with all my things there? If anyone touched them, I'd be upset.
I'd be very upset. You would be crying then to know how much memorabilia and that sort of stuff the kids have just broken, destroyed, or lost.
No. Maybe. And you get cool stuff too, Rob.
Yeah, but it's what it's for. It makes them happy, dude. I'd rather them be happy than me have a toy on my shelf.
That's fair. I appreciate that.
But except for the Millennium Show. I like these statues, dude. I like these ones.
Yeah. The ones that are in your backdrop now, your setup.
Yeah. I like that one.
But Rob, that was UFC 301. That was episode 41 of the MMArcade podcast. Do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap up today?
Yep. Awesome. Casting on Sunday. I don't know. I feel like there's good energy straight after a fight. I agree. I like these Sunday recordings. Let us know what you guys think on the difference timing-wise. But also, thank you very much to all our subscribers and all our listeners out there. You guys are the driving force of the podcast. You know, I really enjoy it. It gets hard during camps, and you guys, I don't know, keep me going. keep me here another week, every week, just recording another one. So I just want to say thank you very much to all our subs and subscribers and all our members and all the people listening. Please tell your friends about us. And, yeah, have a good one.
Take care, boys. See you next week, all right?